Good evening and welcome. I'd like to call this special meeting to order of the Board of Discovery Bay Directors. At this time, I'd like to all of us to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Present.
Vice President Graves?
I'm here.
Director Madison?
Here.
Director Simon? Director Tatro?
Here.
At this time, I'd like to open public comments. Public comments will be limited to a time limit of 3 minutes. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. And tonight I'm the chair. Thank you. Anybody just come to the podium, please?
Right there.
There you go.
Just wanted to make sure you didn't forget.
You want us to talk about your budget item now?
You can comment right now.
Can we talk about it when you're talking
about
it?
Yeah, we're going to have a workshop tonight. It'll be more casual. But if you've got anything you'd like to bring up right now to plant a seed.
No, we're here to talk about somebody, right? When it's appropriate,
we'll let you have a chance.
Okay.
Anybody else like to come up and update weather before? Okay. All right. At this time, I'm going to close public comments, and I'm going to turn over to our general manager, Rick Howard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Staff has been working diligently on the fiscal year 2012-13 revenue operating capital improvement program budget. We're pleased to present a budget to the board that is balanced, where revenues meet expenditures. I'm going to go through the description area real quickly, just to briefly go through some things, and then I'm going to have Dina go through the operating maintenance portion of the budget, as well as the five-year CIP. Speaking of the five-year CIP, you'll notice that this year we've transitioned from a one-year CIP budget to a five-year CIP budget. We plan on doing that every year, so there will always be a year dropping off. We'll always add another year on. It's the first time we've done that in the district's history. The operating and maintenance budget for the district is relatively flat, with a number of exceptions this year. Dina will go through those. It represents about a 4.5% increase over the current year budget. If you turn to page 2 on the document, it basically gives you, in the box in the center of the page, it gives you a pretty good overview of just the total O&M, total capital, the allocation for the infrastructure replacement fund, the contribution to reserves, for total expense budget of $7,934,000. Below that, we also have matching revenues of $7,934,000. As we go through it, pages 5, 6, 7 provide just a brief overview of the district, the services we provide to the public and to the community. Beginning on page 8 is a more detailed description of the different programs. This is new this year. We added this for fiscal 12-13. It lists by program area, the program description, accomplishments of the past year, as well as goals and objectives for the coming years. And that includes the Office of the General Manager, Financial Services, and the Public Services Division, both wastewater and the water quality, as well as Parks and Recreation. Before I turn it over to Dina, I would like to thank the Budget Review Committee. They spent 4 meetings going through the budget, reviewing it over the past couple of months. Directors Mark Simon and Ray Tetro served on that committee. And I would like to, if they're here tonight, Judy Smith is here, if you would stand up, please. Is Rose here this evening? Okay, and Bob Graham is here, if you'd stand up too. And I want to acknowledge their support and contribution to the budget as well. And thank you very much for your efforts. With that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Dina, and she's going to go through and hit all the highlights relative to the revenues, the O&M budget, and the capital budgets And then when she's through with those, Baron will go ahead and hit her budget highlights relative to some of the projects that she has. Once that's complete, that would probably be an appropriate time for the board to interact with staff questions and then following out with the public. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Dina.
Hi, so we'll go through our revenues. The revenues in regards to water and wastewater were taken from the rate study that was done. So all these numbers are reflected off of that study.
Page 16, yes.
With one exception of the large user backfilling, which is an issue that we had and we discussed in the last board meeting, we would expect those revenues to be about $62,000, okay? The reimbursements from the landscaping group are from the budgets, okay? So our expected revenue is $7.934 million. We have $921,000 coming from proceeds from financing for the capital projects that we're going to be financing with bond, okay? On to O&M. One thing about the O&M budget is O&M budgets are pretty much flat. They usually don't generally flux too much from year to year. What happens with the O&M budget is we really only increase with cost of business, from the increased cost of business doing year to year. Things that can increase is if we add staff, which we are not doing this year, or if we have lawsuits, that can increase in the O&M budget as well. Okay, so I'll go through some of the highlights of the increases and decreases that we're gonna expect for next year. The first one is in salary and wages, and that is due to we actually are accounting for a hire of one of our employees that was temporary, now moving to a higher position. We are also in hiring somebody as a temporary for an accounting clerk position, and also our increases. Okay. Another highlight here would be our.
I was just going to indicate that for salary and wage increases, we allocated 2% of base payroll.
Yes. Okay. Another increase is workers' comp. We expect that to be relatively flat to what we experienced this year. We had an injury of one of our staff members, so that actually increased our workers' comp, okay? We don't expect that's going to drive, we're not going to expect any lowering of those costs. Another thing I'd like to highlight is our consulting services are going to be increased this year, about $30,000, we're thinking. That's probably an area we can look at and kind of reducing, possibly, okay?
That's an employee contribution retirement plan that the board authorized 2 years ago. And these are generally employee contributions, although there is a employer contribution for employees that is an incentive to not participate in the medical benefit plan. The $30,000 in consulting services, we put that in as a placeholder initially, and we can take that out. So we're gonna go ahead and reduce that $30,000 from this year to next year. So that's gonna be a flat budget on that line item.
Next area to look at is the increase for our wastewater service contract. That is a contracted dollar amount, and that is going to increase about $34,000 this year. Okay. We are expecting some major increases in legal fees, okay? Roughly about $43,500.
That's okay. Based on the Southland one,
Yes, it is. Another item I'd like to point out as well is training and education. We plan on investing in our staff this year. Some of the training and education that we're going to be doing are, I have two trips this year. One, I'm going to Utah for Casell training, which actually is embedded in the Casell contract, but the flight, the stay, and the hotel, and everything. Also, I'm going to do another trip to Chicago for a week of training with it's GFOA training, so it's going to be accounting principles and public accounting costs. Okay. We do have this year an election expense, and that's roughly about $9,000. So that's going to be an increase this year. We're going to have a an expense last year.
In every other year.
Election expense?
71.55, 73.15.
Why do we have this question?
Because there's an election this year.
Because there's an election this year?
The county charges us.
The county charges us for that.
Back up to 71.80 for 1 second. I understand travel, I don't understand meetings. What are we paying for meetings? What does that mean?
Okay, so, go ahead.
Travel and meetings is different than training and education. Training and education would be for attending conferences, attending the cost to participate in the conference or the meeting. The travel would be the travel expenses. So, yeah.
Okay, is that travel for, does 71.80 and 71.95 go together or are they separate? In other words, do you have travel built into 71.95 or is the travel built into 71.80?
Travel is built into 71.80. So the training and education is built into 71.95.
Understood, but it's a little deceiving. With meetings, when it says and meetings, it sounds like we're paying somebody to go to a meeting. But that's okay. I just want to understand.
They're typical training sessions.
Understood. Those
like
go together.
CSDA conference.
I figured you'd have your own line.
No problem. Just clarification.
Okay. It's like apples and oranges there.
Okay. Public communications and notices. We have $5,000 in there this year for the newsletter. Telecommunications seems to be an increase this year because we are correctly accounting for our telephone expenses. We're breaking them out in general, networking, and cellular. Okay. So I went through every single bill line item to get those numbers. Automotive supplies and repairs is $30,000. The increase, we're expecting some increase due to fuel costs. Okay, InfoSystem maintenance is another one I'd like to highlight for you. InfoSystem maintenance is what I mean. What I mean by that is any type of systematic maintenance, such as Big Dog, he does our IT services. Datamatic reads, there's a cost associated with that, an annual cost. We have a cost for our software for Incrementum. It's a scanning software for the admin and finance department. We have a Cassell annual maintenance fee. That's in there as well. Media Macros, the website, annual maintenance fee is in there. Cisco AnyConnect, that's so that I can log into the county financials. That's in there as well. And I have a VOIP phone system. It's a one-time fee of $1,600 in there.
The voice over IP phone system would replace our existing phone system that we have here at the office, which is a residential phone system. And as right. Many of you know, you call in and you can't get in because the lines are all tied up. It goes to the answering system. And we can't transfer calls. We can't send people to voicemail. And this would rectify and correct that.
Another thing I'd like to point out is under computer equipment and supplies, it looks like we're having a decrease of $1,900. That's actually because we didn't have as many account codes this year, and a lot of stuff was plopped into that. So now we actually do have computer equipment and supplies. It's only computer equipment and supplies will be in that. That this year will include the iPads for the board meetings. Okay, it's 10 iPads. Some new computers that we are needing for our staff, a new scanning system for the finance department to be able to scan our bills in and store them in an easier way, and our new phones to go with the new system.
The computers that we're looking to replace for staff would be for Farron through computer replacement. She's working on a pretty old system right now. It's not compatible with the latest software. Calista's computer is about 5 or 6 years old. Hers is completely incompatible. We have a hard time with documents going back and forth. And
there's one more.
So for the finance.
We're
replacing the finance computer as well.
Five board members and a general manager is six. Why do we need 10
We have five for the board, we have one for the general manager, one for each of the managers, and we have a spare.
And most of these systems that we're replacing are older systems, like 32-bit, old, okay.
But they might be a little bit newer than that, but they're older, the software's unsupported any longer. We looked to upgrade the software to Microsoft Office 10, and it's approximately $600 to buy the software and put it onto an old machine, and seem to make the most sense.
We've got to buy the software to put it on the new machine.
They come with it.
They do?
Yes.
The new machine comes with it, yeah. Okay, so now we're going to...
When I buy mine, it doesn't.
You don't shop the right spot.
When did decrease in office supply? Where are you? $74,000. Usually more stuff every year.
We're gonna try our best to try to decrease some of that. What I found was, actually what I'm gonna do with my staff at least, is before they order something, that I have to sign off on it. Whereas before, they just, anybody could just order what they wanted or needed.
Less paper.
Okay, so this is what's gonna be tricky, is that this didn't completely, the colors didn't come out on this. So what's gonna happen is that, as actually, some of these items should be rolled up. And just can see, like, there's some green, the green roll up to the white, and it didn't transpose onto this budget document. So we'll go through these line item here. We're gonna go through the headline item, and we're gonna go to 7420, which is rent and facility expense. And the items that roll up to that are, county requested maintenance, rent public meetings, building rent, equipment rental, and facility maintenance, and building repairs. Okay, those numbers roll up to the 13,000, the 39,500. Okay, what I have in those are, some of the changes in there are building repairs and maintenance. We're gonna be doing some paint and carpeting for this building, some landscaping around the building, and then the large cost is the Delta fence for plant 1 and 2. That is $21,000.
Are we using Delta fence?
Well, we're gonna evaluate that. It's in the budget. I mentioned it to the budget review committee. You know, we've had some issues with some break-ins at our plants, and we've got in the capital budget, we have $10,000 budgeted or allocated towards security equipment and new cameras. But this would be to renovate the existing gates of plants 1 and 2 to an electronic gate with a keypad, so that when people come in and out, it tracks when they came in and out. At this point in time, we do have quotes on that, but the jury's still out from a staffing standpoint as to whether or not we want to move forward in that direction or not.
Can we, before you do move forward, I know that's a decision, can we discuss that before you move forward with the specific electric vehicle?
Yeah, absolutely.
Surveillance?
This is, in fact, when we get through it, we can come back and revisit that if you like.
I mean, because the break-ins would have happened if we had an electronic fence.
Yeah, it's
well, they just
physical security issues. I'd like to have the board talk about that.
Okay, so the yes. Go ahead.
Are there several items here that roll up that we're not privy to? Because, I mean, or is that the first item that rolls up?
No, it was the one before that. You said
there were some others.
There's several up. Okay. It makes it difficult. Okay. Because my first, I'm looking at telecommunications, and I'm going.
They roll up to the, yeah.
Okay.
They roll up to the 7.
And the reason we don't have that on our paper is?
The color didn't transpose on the copy.
So is under equipment, do we have a color copier that works? I don't understand. We have a color copier, right?
Yeah.
We will correct that in the final document for next week.
Just makes it distracting. Go ahead.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I mean, because if I'm trying to make sense of it and it doesn't make sense, then I got to stop you all the time and ask questions. Whereas if it was there, it would be I would understand it.
Insurance. The total was $67,000. All the insurance naming conventions underneath it go up to that $67,000.
Perfect.
Okay, liability, other, property, and umbrella. And the reason for the cost increase is the cost increase of insurance, which is slightly typical. And two, we did some more due diligence to make sure we've listed out the product, the items that we need to have insured.
You remember last year we received a true actual ownership of wastewater treatment plant 2, and that increased our assets significantly. By doing so, it also increased our insurance rates.
And our umbrella is 10 million?
It is.
Thank you.
Okay. Under utilities, as you can see, we try to keep those flat. We don't expect any increases under utilities. That includes electrical costs for general, electrical costs for water, electrical costs sewer, electrical costs county. Any question? Any? Those all roll up to the total for utilities of $705,000.
We're talking about each category as we go through it, I assume, at this point. Rick, you've been working, and I think Virgil also has been working on some cost reduction. We've got some estimates on some electrical. We don't think anything's going to happen in the next 12 months. It's going to help that.
One of the things I am working on is moving to an LED lighting system. And if we implement those costs, we should see some savings. There will be some. It's about a 3-year payback on it. So those are not built in. Okay. Those costs are not built into the budget because we haven't evaluated their effectiveness for us yet, but it's things that we are certainly looking to do is to moderate these expenses.
Didn't we have some people come give us some pricing on telling us they were going to reduce our energy costs? It never worked?
No, I've got it. I had to get more than one bid. I received 3 other bids approximately a month or so ago. They didn't make it into this document.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, the next item I'd like to highlight are chemicals. We were currently spending $100,000 on chemicals a year. We joined up with some other cities and counties, and now we're going to be reducing that to about $62,000 a year. So it's a savings of $37,500. Okay.
By joining that consortium, our cost for sodium hypochlorite, 12%, Virgil, went from $2 a gallon to 46 cents a gallon. It's a huge savings. By virtue of the fact that we're expanding the biosolids processing, we will have increased polymer costs, which are going to eat into some of those savings. But the fact we got into that consortium was certainly beneficial to us.
Is that a county consortium?
It was another agency.
Regional?
San Ramon, special district. But it includes Alameda County as well.
It seems like the county should be working together better.
It's funny, we're going out of county to do it, to join up then, huh? To go into Alameda County?
No, they are in Contra Costa, San Ramon.
I thought you said Alameda County.
No, Alameda County, some of Zone 7 and some of the other communities. Hmm. Yeah. Special districts are in that part of that consortium.
Oh, that's a good way to work.
That concludes my highlights of the O&M. The budget remains at $4,633,133. Are there any questions?
The only thing I'd like to go back to is the record too.
What?
Go ahead. I got to agree with Ray. I think they're spending this kind of money on a gate. And once again, it's going in, they're going to go in on top of the gate, or they're going to cut the gate. I know where my warehouse is right now, it's electric. But the last people that broke in went over the side gate, pulled the pins out of the emergency pins, just swung the gate over and took a car. I'm all for security, but $30,000.
Yes, it's to be 21.
What item number is that?
It's about 10,000 for each gate.
Yeah.
72, 71.
It's about 10,000 for each of the gate. There's 2 gates, one over plant 1 and plant 2. You know, we know we're not going to stop everybody coming in. We're hoping that the increase improved security surveillance that we put in place. Actually, we're getting some digital lines out there, some fiber as a result of the biosolids. We're going to benefit from that versus the old analog black and white that we've been using. But it just presents another level of coverage, if you will, in the event someone comes up and they have bolt covered, bolt cutters instead of, that's how they got in, through bolt cutters. They just chopped the lock off. And it's just another deterrent.
I think that as part of our comprehensive physical security plan, I think we need to look at that this year and make sure that all of our assets are protected. You know, we've got as much protection as is reasonable without, you know, $1 million, but you know, using the Ace Hardware locks doesn't work. So
yeah, we've had two break-ins in the last month, one at each plant. Incidentally, we are looking at a new lock system, a padlock, that actually has a is it a key or is it a
it's a key, but it's electronic key, and each key is registered to an individual, so to tell me the time they went in and out. But it's also a almost a military grade type of a lock. It'd be very hard to cut. So in essence, if they truly want in, they will have to cut a hole into the fence and then come in that way.
I want 24-hour surveillance on for vandalism and for a safety issue, as far as we've got a lot of water out here and a lot of chemicals being stored, and I want to make sure that we've got that monitored all the time so that we can get the authorities to take action. I understand that trailers get stolen and towed away and those kind of things, but I'm concerned about the guy that wants to go and wreak some havoc on our infrastructure, and that's kind of where I'm coming from. So a little fence is not a, you know, that's great.
Just so you do know, we do monitor our facilities 24/7. They are on a 24/7 security system. This system here is a little bit better than the ones at the plants. It's a little bit newer. The ones down there are black and white, and you've seen the pictures. They're grainy. No, it's difficult to see the perpetrator.
No. Motion alert. No one wants to be watching the cameras. Go ahead.
I think monitoring is wonderful, but we had two break-ins while we were monitoring, and we couldn't catch any of it. I mean, at this point, I have to agree. I would rather see some camera then. And we have enough equipment. Like, why don't we park something across the gate, one of our trucks across the gate at night, so the gates won't open?
We do have, it just in the capital budget, we do have money programmed in for security cameras to improve the security camera system so we get a better quality vision. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Director Steele, were you referring to off-site monitoring, like an alarm company monitoring?
I
don't
think that might be appropriate.
In each case, 5 minutes exact, both incidences, they were in and they were out.
Sure.
We count, you could not get out here, your sheriff, nor I or anybody else could respond in 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, we're looking at cameras, better cameras.
Yeah.
And we're looking at better locks. And so if you could put something across the gate, we have enough company vehicles, we could lock the gate.
Tractor.
And let's see what happens. I mean, let's try to do something other than this thing. We're going to have gates that aren't going to stop anybody.
Okay.
So I'd like to see some of that come out of the budget.
Any more comments? The other thing, Jim?
No, I mean, similar stuff. I talked to Rick about it before. I mean, they have, like, at the schools, you know, those giant bars that come across, you know, and those locks in there, you get the lock that, you know, Virgil's talking about, and they're made of, you know, tungsten, so you can't even cut them.
Yeah.
You get those big bars over there, and you put the lock in. The lock goes way up, so you can't even get to it to lock it. You've seen those? I mean, those can't be all that expensive, right? I think even something like that, instead of putting the trucks here, you could put the trucks here. But when you close those big bars at night, and yes, the other things, they can go around the other way. And so I think the bottom line is we really need to look at everything, what we need to do to, you know, to shore it up.
Well, why don't we do this? I you know, I'm hearing what the board is saying. We can come back with this at a later date with some options and with some recommendations. There's a lot of good discussion going on, and
yeah, we're not going to solve it here tonight.
Yeah, and we certainly haven't come to the conclusion which is the best way to go yet. But we wanted to program it in there because we do know we have a need for it.
Okay.
How about like a security audit from a firm that, you know, can look at our overall security package and find us on that?
It'd be a good future.
Yeah,
definitely. Is there any public comment right now? They'd like to come up to the podium and chime in, or? Okay. Keep moving. Public comments closed. Go ahead.
On the back of the O&M, you'll see our graph. There is a typo error on the first graph. It says FY 2011 2012. So, Jim, thank you very much for pointing that out.
I'm here to help.
Really?
Don't need it from you.
Okay, moving on to our CIP.
Hey, that color works, by the way, on the pie chart.
Well, it's kind of faded, right? Okay, the capital improvement plan is really derived from the water and wastewater master plan with a few other little tidbits in there. We have, under equipment, we have a community message board for $40,000. We have a building lift for $25,000. That will be shared, the cost will be shared with the landscaping firm. We did put in security cameras in light of the recent break-ins, and we budgeted about $10,000 for that.
We just put $10,000 here for security cameras, and we just had a conversation over here for the $30,000 part that was discussing security cameras.
No, what I said was in the capital budget, we have programmed $10,000 for security cameras on the capital side.
So the 30 that's in here is covering
That would be maintenance. That would be maintaining what we already have. There's an electrical system already in place. There's an electric gate system already in place. It used to be there. It's been discontinued, if you will. And so we're looking at putting that back in shape, making it work again. The cameras are a completely separate item. And that's what I mentioned, that the cameras are in the capital.
When we're done with the sheet, I would like to go back to the message board if we can.
It's okay. How we're going to read this is we're going to go CIP wastewater. The department and project number is actually the number that it's in order of the water and wastewater master plans, okay? So we have the wastewater master plan. This is item number 5 on it, the secondary effluent pump station modifications. The red items are gross induced totals, okay? So that's everything that we're expecting with development.
You got to put them together.
Yeah, to put it together. So it's put on
two sheets. Somehow legal.
The why they're not together is actually because it was easier to put in a document format and put into on the website.
No problem.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Great, Ina, thanks. I'm sorry. You're trying to cut me off with the pass, huh? No, I wasn't even talking about that.
Okay.
So, and the brown, the orange, the burnt, is that red?
So the brown, burnt, orange, red, whatever.
Are those all they almost look like two different
those
colors.
Those are growth-induced totals, okay? The darker green, or let me see what color it is. Like avocado, those are totals that we're planning to finance. Those are projects that we're planning to finance. So everything that's in white, the town is actually paying for.
What we did is we broke the typical what we would typically cover as an ongoing operational would be happening year to year, whether it's replacing a pump or pump upgrades, maintaining the SCADA system, that sort of thing. Those are ongoing operational issues. The items in the green are those items that the master plans and staff and board have worked on over the past year and a half or so and have identified as those projects that are necessary to be current capacity requirements. The red or rust color, whatever it is, those would be built only once new development would come in and support them. So if you see down at the bottom, the three colors at the bottom, it kind of track that way as well.
Okay, we're planning for 2012-13 for most of the large projects off the water and wastewater master plans to really do the design work with construction starting in 2013-2014 on. Okay. We started with secondary effluent pump station modifications. We are planning on those in 2015-16. That is a growth-induced item. Secondary effluent equalization, that's item number 6 on the wastewater master plan. That is also a growth-induced item. Planning in 2015-16. Effluent filtration is item number 7 on the wastewater master plan. We're planning on that starting in 2014-15, continuing through 2016-17 for a total of 4.6 million. Yes.
That item would, as the board is aware, that would be triggered only if the board, if the Regional Water Quality Control Board triggered that once we go to amend our permit to expand the capacity of the plant beyond its current 2.1 to the projected 2.4.5. Yeah, at that point, we don't know if they're going to trigger secondary or tertiary effluent filtration, whether it be sand filters or fabric filters, but we're accounting for it now in case it does come. We probably anticipate that it will.
Upgrade UV disinfection is item number 10. We're planning on spending $1.2 million with $120,000 in 2014-15. Add pump to export pump station is item number 12. We're expecting that to be about $100,000. That is also growth induced. Solids improvement phase 2. One new solar dryer is number 14. That is actually going to be farther out. Further down. Collection system pump station improvements is item number 15. We are planning for about $110,000 to be in the 12-13 year, and the balance to be spread over the following 5 years.
Is that for the lift over there on Little Lake and River Lake? Rick?
This would be to maintain all of our lift stations.
What the one we're gonna have?
The first one is lift station F right there at the corner of Willow Lake and River Lake, and that will be coming to an agenda.
Where's the budget? Have we got to it yet?
That's this one, isn't it?
What's that?
Lift station F.
F is in front?
Yes.
Is that coming up soon?
Is that on the budget here for $110,000?
Yes.
Okay.
SCADA improvements is item number 16. We're expecting to spend $150,000 for the 12-13 year and $204,000 from 13 to 2015.
What we plan on doing there is to take the SCADA system that we need to upgrade and replace some of the panels on this year, and then at the end of 13-14 and the beginning of 14-15, when 1 year ends and the next year begins, we'll join those two projects together and fund them out in 2 years. So we'll wrap up those improvements at that point in time. We'll do a big push this year. We're going to do a big push on it this year, this coming year, and then at the end of the following year, the beginning of the next year.
Let's move to CIP water source capacity. Well 7 is item 1A. We're expecting to spend $221,000 for design work in 12-13.
First page.
That's for 13-14.
First page.
And that's the design only for that. It's not any of the construction.
Design and test.
Design and testing. Test boards. I was just suggesting that instead of going through each line item, we can break them down by groups.
That's fine. We'll go through
exactly.
Okay. How would you like me to break them out through groups? Would you like me to break them out through bond issue items?
By color.
Okay. So let's go through groups.
14. By color. Adapt and overcome.
So let's go through the items that we are going to be spending town's budget money on. It's $2,053,000 on the items that are in the white categories. So that includes anything under equipment, the wastewater items, the CIP water items, structure improvement items, and the structure improvement water. We also have in there for this year infrastructure replacement fund, which we are increasing to $500,000. Okay? The $921,181 are going to be the items that we're expecting to finance. The dark green colors are the financed items, and they are mainly design work with the construction for those projects starting in 2013-14. Okay. The blue line item for 2012-13 is $2.9 million, and that is our expected CIP spend for this year.
On the infrastructure reserve fund, last year we allocated that at $320,000. The auditors this year made special note of that and actually commended us for initiating that process. So we started out last year with $320,000. We're proposing that we cap it on an annual basis at $500,000 a year, so that we have the resources when we need them to go in and replace underground infrastructure, water lines, sewer lines, vehicles. We'll have the money there to buy vehicles so that they come out of the base fund every year. And so we're recommending that we increase that from the 320 this year. I think we were at 500,000 for next year.
Okay, so I'm gonna actually go to the summary line. I just have a little, so when you get your calculators out, you try to total this up. There's a little one exception in there. So if you look at the summary line for the capital totals of $8.1 million, okay, you try to add up all the light greens into it, please make sure you note that on the solids improvement phase one through solar dryers, that only includes $800,000 of that money, okay? So the rest is in the dark green to be financed, and that would be included in the total of the $12 million.
We're recommending to finance 50% of the current project that we're working on. We adopted the reimbursement resolution earlier in the year. That would provide us a little more flexibility on financing that we can actually save some money by including this, because we would not be capitalizing the interest, and we can make a bond payment this coming year instead of waiting another year and paying interest on the interest. I think we discussed that at the meeting last week. Right? So we went ahead and moved that forward. That would give us the opportunity to do that.
Keep going.
Any questions? Would you like me to continue on to all the years, or do you want to stop and have some questions?
No questions. Sure.
Would you like to go back to our message board?
Oh, yeah, let's go back to the message board.
Go ahead.
We talked about the message board, but we've never approved buying a message board. We have it in the budget, and I think that we should talk about that before. We spent $40,000 on something that I think is the biggest waste of money in the face of the earth.
Well, I was just going to say that there are a number of things that are in the budget that have never been used before, and that's why they're in the proposed budget, is for the board to make that determination. It was a recommendation from the Communications Committee that it be included in this year's budget, and the board did vote on that action to approve the recommendations of the Communications Committee. So that was the direction that I used to include that in the preliminary draft budget.
Yeah. It is absolutely, I mean, we've had this conversation. People drive 55 miles an hour down that street, they're not putting a little board on the corner that you will never see. So that we can have
Other than the fact that it's at a corner where there's a stoplight, I would say that they do travel 55, but the speed limit's not 55, and it's at a stoplight. So people aren't running red lights constantly through there. They are stopping, turning, coming out of the gas station, coming out of the shopping center. So that was why and I'm speaking on behalf of the Communications Committee at this point, because that's what the discussion was within the Communications Committee, was location, whether it should be on this side of town, that side, where would it get the best visibility to be able to notify the public of public services. This was brought, it's been brought forth to the public, to the board. It was ignored. We had not addressed it prior because we had not had a committee to address it prior. I shouldn't say it was ignored. It really wasn't. It's just that we, as in listening to what the public wanted, which was more information being disseminated, the Communications Committee spent a lot of time, you were on that with me, trying to resolve and address those issues of the public. I don't recall what our discussion was at the time that the recommendations came forward to the board and whether we addressed that issue specifically at that time or not.
I just don't remember.
Did we address it at that time? I don't remember.
I believe it was back in December. We brought the report of the Communications Committee and the Community Center Committee simultaneously. Two separate items, but brought it back at that meeting in December. And at that time, the board did accept, if you will, those findings in that report. You certainly have that doesn't tie your hands, however, you certainly have the flexibility to include it or not to include it. I just went with the committee's recommendation was, the discussion behind it, and then the board meeting back in December when it came back to the full board, when the committee report was presented to the board.
I think that having a means to display a public message that's going to be a safety alert or something that's going on in the community, I think it's important. I'd be willing to consider alternatives to that, Mr. Simon, and I'd also would even be open to a different design of it, but I think it is important that we plan for that communication to happen. And whether that's a mobile system or a permanent fixed position system, I think it would be important to have that,
Is this a fixed position that you're talking about?
It is. That was what the committee had come up with. I know that I'm concerned now about, I know we're not fire service here, but I am concerned about fire situations and people causing those. And I know the firework sign's been pretty effective, and I don't know how else we're going to get the word out to remind people that, to take care of those type of things. And also I'm concerned about alerts to our issues with our system. How are we going to get the word out on it? So I think it's important that we take the committee's recommendation, but, we can look at the design and those things in the future.
This may not be the most opportune time to have this discussion at the same time, but as long as we're talking about signage for informational purposes, I did remind the board that at the last meeting we had on Wednesday, sheriff indicated that they would no longer be having a temporary sign out here to be used for road closures, fireworks, whatever was being used for before, which Lieutenant Burton was very generous with and seemed to always get it out there for us. AJ made it pretty clear he wasn't going to be doing that. And I have to tell you that
he said it wasn't available this year. He was saying every year.
He said it's not coming out. It's not available to come out here, is what he said.
That's right.
And so I would even suggest to the board that we consider a mobile unit as well that can be used when we have to go to the fire hydrant, when we have to pull manholes, when we have to close streets, when we have to divert traffic. For safety issues for our workers, as well as informational purposes. I really think at one time we had that in a budget and it didn't make it through the cut, I don't think, last year. But I think it's something that should be seriously considered by the board.
I'm definitely not against having some kind of a warning system. I'm against taking $40,000. I mean, to me, I'm on the road all day, every day, and there's a lot of places that have different electronic signs that give different messages. based on the timing of the switch of the message from one to another, or a message that has part of it and displays the rest of it, by the time it displays half of it, you've driven by it. That light changes so quick in front of the gas station. You've got people lined up with other people that aren't paying attention to the sign, they're paying attention to traffic. You've got people coming into that gas station, sticking that little sign for 40 grand on the corner and having to deliver different messages. I just believe it is not the answer. I think there's probably a better answer than that, and I would be all for it if you have one, but I just don't believe that's the answer.
I kind of think what I'm hearing from everybody is I think the sign, I personally think the sign would be a good idea. Maybe we just need to do a little bit more recon to figure out what the best avenue to have a sign there is.
Yeah, I mean, the technology is getting cheaper and cheaper. So, again, I would keep the line item there and have some board involvement on, and the communication committee involvement on the next step on that.
Well, I can tell you that this item, even if the board leaves it in, it would still come back to the board for final authorization because it certainly exceeds my spending authority. So we'd have to come back for the
vote. Well, I agree with Director Madison, because Director Simon did indicate that he thinks it's a good idea. That just may not be, or it indicates that there should be something, but that may not be the thing that he's looking for. And I think that maybe at some point in time we need to discuss what he has in mind and what the rest of us have in mind.
Any public comment?
I'm sorry. I have one question. Do you want that to remain in?
Yes.
We'll deal with it later. We'll come back with some alternatives.
Correct.
Or maybe in August.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see us jump on the wrong thing. That's why I definitely.
Absolutely.
That gets credited back to our zones 8 and 9. I also think next year we'll have a credit, but in case for some reason we don't spend as much vehicle time there, I'm going to keep it the money available. I do want to highlight under the 2282 code under grounds maintenance, there's a couple highlighted sections there that is for tree care services and for the palms and the plant rotations. These equaled about 17,000 last year. We're reducing these for kind of emergency work that's left. The rest of the tree care services, including our palms, will be done utilizing the boom lift and with our own staff. So that will continue out every year, and we were spending about 17 just in this zone per year on tree care services. Our mulch replacement program, although our year-end estimates were at $5,600 that we spent this year, it didn't really increase from our budget last year. I just didn't spend as much. We weren't able to put as much down. Doing these projects that we have going on, Highway 4, Clipper, we're hoping that once those die off, we'll be able to get back into those rotations again through the winter. If you go, I guess most of the big ticket items are on the capital budget, which is the next page. We'll start with parks. Cornell Park is the only park in Zone 8. We did some ADA upgrades this year. We finished the tennis court surfacing. We also refinished the fencing at the tennis courts. We removed the tot lot, and we upgraded the horseshoe and bocce ball courts, or we renovated them. For next year, I have proposed budgets to include a pickleball court, solar lighting, design and environmental review work on a splash pad, and our bench and picnic table replacements. Now, when we had met with the budget committee, this looked a little bit different. I was asked to go back and see if we could reduce some of the costs on these projects. We reworked the pickleball court, and we reduced that from $120,000 to $100,000 on this budget. We moved the solar lighting project from 2013-14 to next year. We pulled that up a year, and we reduced it by $11,000. And reduced the total cost of the splash pad from $250,000 to $197,000, but it's split over 2 years. And next year would be the $17,005 just for the environmental development change and design requirements. And then we increased the bench and picnic table replacements to $35,000 from $26,000. However, we had anticipated spending about $26,000 in both years. So by moving it forward and getting all the work done in 1 year, it's going to reduce. We're reducing the project by about $17,000. Any questions on the parks project so far?
Okay. The pickleboard court was $140,000.
Yes.
And you said had gone up considerably from the previous year.
Costs?
Yeah.
No, the costs were the same. Whatever, originally we had designed it and wanted to put it in over at Slifer Park.
Yes.
The construction costs for that project are going to be the same no matter where you put it. Originally we had discussed making them tennis court size and fitting as many courts as we could in, so that in case we wanted to convert those at a later date and they weren't being used, that we could convert those. In order to bring costs down, our design costs, our permit costs are also going to be the same no matter what size you build it. So the only way to reduce the budget on that was to make the courts smaller. It would not be tennis court size, but you would still be able to fit four courts, just not as large as tennis courts.
Or
so we have to relay them out.
You would have
one short size.
That's how we reduce from 120 to 100,000. And then also by including, because if we include all of these projects that need to have design work done, which is why we kind of move things around, our solar lights would have to have design work. They'd have to be permitted. So if we pull all of our permit costs, all of our design work on any of the projects that we're going to do in the next 2 years into one package, then we can reduce our costs for design, environmental reviews, and permitting. So that's another decrease in the project costs.
have pickleball courts, do they have a fixed net distance or the width of the net? Is it different than a tennis court?
A pickleball court is the same size as a badminton court.
Okay.
Play area.
Same as a volleyball court.
Okay.
Volleyball court.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're always talking about four courts?
Pickleball, yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So once those, once you commit to building them for pickleball, what else are they good for?
Pickleball.
So what happens when people are no longer interested in pickleball?
If pickleball no longer became a popular sport, there are other options that you could use the surfacing for. I know that people play wall ball. I've seen it in the cities. You know, you can put a wall up and do handball courts, or maybe besides that, I really don't have another idea off the top of my head, but I don't.
Badminton's
the same size.
You can use badminton. What's the difference? I mean, is it smaller than a
badminton? It's different than that.
Yes. Yes.
By how much? It's smaller than a tennis court?
Yes.
It's
probably about two-thirds of the size, I think.
Yeah. A single court is only 20 feet wide and 44 feet long.
Okay. Well, if you were to have a court design that you could do badminton and you could do pickleball, could you have one size post or a net for supporting the net, or how would you do that? Because I like to see multiple uses on what we're trying to do. And so
I don't know. Where's the net on a pickleball court?
I don't know.
On the ground or up in the air? Where is it?
It's well, shorter net, than the net is about the same size.
About tennis size.
It's slightly shorter than a tennis net, so it's essentially low. And of course, badminton is. I don't know what the height is.
And how many courts are you intending to build?
We have four single courts.
Four single courts, and you can't cross that over to a tennis court? If one is smaller than a tennis court, four would be bigger than a tennis court.
No. I didn't look at the design or what the change they did, but what we originally talked about at Slifer were two courts, which would have been on a half that you could have expanded to a single tennis court. Now, they were two side by side, and
I'm sorry,
where do I reference
it? Originally, it was four courts, and to bring that down,
this is
the
what?
Four courts would have fit in a tennis court
that,
and reduced it to two
what?
Side
oh,
by
I
side.
See. So this is, this would be two courts.
Yeah.
I thought we were always talking
side
about
side.
Two courts.
Two.
There, it is two. Originally, to do tennis court size, we were going to try to fit more
why
courts.
Why are we making it four?
Oh, sure.
It is two for the reduced size. I'm sorry. I had to pull up my phone and look at
that's
it.
Not
it
size
originally, I thought we were going to four, try to fit the bigger courts in there to be able to go back. And then the way that works was 60 by 64 was space in between on the middle and the ends of two courts.
Okay, I want to. My concern with the pickleball court, I don't have any pickleball game, but it seems to me that there's not that many.
I like that.
I'm concerned with the number of people that play pickleball. So you're going to spend $100,000 on something that, compared to population, I mean, how many people play pickleball?
Okay, can I speak
yes,
to
please,
pickleball
that's
just
why
a little
you're
bit?
Here.
Okay, that's why we're here. We've got
yeah.
10 of the people that play pickleball are here this evening to show support for
all
the
of
game.
You?
Yeah.
Huh? All of you?
Quite a few.
No, we have like 35 people on that have played that
okay.
play here
all right.
that live, you know, either here or at Brentwood or Bethel Island or Antioch. But let me tell you about the game and give you a feel for what's taking place. The game was started by a family in the state of Washington in 1965. 20 years later, those folks came together and formed an association to promote the game. And it was a pickleball, so they had a pickleball association. I don't know what it was exactly called. And by 1990, pickleball was being played in every state in the Union. In 2005, that association incorporated and is known as the USA Pickleball Association. And it's a volunteer organization
you know, we pay $20 a year for dues, there's no staff, everything is done by volunteers, and I happen to be a local volunteer to, you know, encourage play and teach people how to play and promote it.
Is there official league at Discovery Bay? Or?
There is. We've played some tournaments, but there isn't a league at this point.
All right.
We didn't. I mean, pickleball. Some places in Arizona, they do have some leagues where they have lots. Where they have a lot more players. Let me give you. In 2008, there were 420 places to play pickleball in the United States. 2 years later, there were 800. As of right now, there's 1,400 places to play pickleball in the United States, with about 200,000 people playing.
Okay, but
so we've had, there is, it's, and it's known as the fastest growing sport in the country.
That's a racket sport. Use a handle, right?
Racket. You didn't bring anything, but it's a paddle. We play with a wiffle ball about that size. And it's tennis-like.
So there's 35 people, of which how many of them actually live in Discovery Bay?
Oh, 30 of them.
Most of the people are here.
So, yeah, most of the people live here, you know, in our community.
I would like to comment that prior to us resurfacing the tennis courts, the pickleballers were the primary people that used those courts. Now that they've been resurfaced, we are seeing more tennis players come out. And I don't know if you guys have had any conflicts with that or courts being in use, but we are seeing more use since they've been resurfaced and the net units have gone in.
Oh, so you're saying
they'll
be less active? Well, they won't be able to play as much. It's just a tennis court.
It'll free up the tennis
court. Yeah, we are seeing. Karen did a great job of getting them refurbished, and they're really nice. Oh yeah, that's a pickleball paddle, and that's the ball.
Like a huge table tennis.
So that brings back some nightmares. Yeah. Junior high school. I don't even want to see that.
Yeah, I got an issue with somebody.
But did your teacher hit you with that?
Oh god, it had holes in it though. I don't know what that was all about.
That was the original one.
Farron, what have we looked at as far as getting the best use of the buck? I know the pickleball court's $100,000. If we were to build a tennis court so that you could play tennis and a myriad of other things on it, plus pickleball, how much would that be?
The original design was for the 120 was for a tennis court size. Okay. So it only reduces by 20,000 to reduce the size.
But you can't play tennis on the same court. You'd have to redo it.
Right. Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Like most of the things that we have in the community are, you know, we can talk parks, you do different things. But if you have an athletic, you know, basketball court, it's a basketball court. We don't do anything else but play basketball. Tennis, we are playing a little pickleball on them now, although it's a much better game to play on this design court that Farron
is using. Is this an enclosed court or just open?
It's a closed, but a smaller
fence. It's got fence around it.
You have to have fence around it?
Oh, yeah. The decision was made to make it because of your concern to put in tennis height fence. Pickleball courts really only need a 6-foot fence.
It would only be 6 foot in the design.
That's part of the savings.
No. Even with the tennis court size, we were still going to put a shorter fence in.
I have no problem with the concept. I have no problem with your involvement in it. Physical activity is something that is not taken advantage of in our society today. I think if you can get people out exercising, I think that's a wonderful thing. I personally would like to see it built. And I'm, with no disrespect meant to our fellow pickleballers out here today, it is a new sport. It hasn't survived the test of time like bocce and horseshoes and tennis have. But, so what, and personally what I would like to see is the design brought back to the size it needs to be with whatever modifications thought about in the design to if in fact at some point in time pickleballers all move away, that it could be converted. Raise the fence, put in a couple of different posts, and now you got a tennis court.
Or badminton.
Kids have been playing this in grade school and middle school for years, so I don't know where you come from.
I come from the fact that there's only 200,000 people in a state of how many trillion that are, in a country of how many trillion that are playing with it, and there's no, and I tell you, there's a lot more horseshoers than that.
Well, now what we're saying is we don't, instead of being short-sighted and build something that is only one person can use, one entity can use. We need to build something where down the line more people can use. We need to get the best use of our buck. So we're not saying we're excluding you, not making one for you. We're just trying to figure out the best way to make it more available for everyone to use.
I'll wait for the comments.
Go ahead.
I just want to add something to this too. I'm kind of a newbie. I've only played about 25 times. I've played badminton, racquetball for 25 years, tennis, okay? And when I started playing pickleball, believe me, I just fell in love with the sport. Mostly because, and again, I don't see anybody here at 50 years old or under, but when you do get older, tennis courts, many times people cannot play, okay? They can't run around. And we have a lot of people that actually walk by, okay, and say, what are you guys doing? What is that game? Eventually, they come and become players. You don't see that in tennis a lot. So there's a lot to be said about pickleball. Okay, especially, it's a fun sport. It's challenging. It's hard to master. But it's challenging enough where you want to become good at it. And you see, we have all ages. I mean, we have people playing in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Now, you don't see many people playing tennis at that age. And as we get a little bit older, right, in this community, there is a place that we can play.
I think, keep in mind, I think we're losing sight of what we're trying to do. We're not excluding pickleball. We want a pickleball court.
Yeah.
What we want to do is we need to build a facility that can house other things than just the pickleball court.
Well, I think we've talked about that. The volleyball, and badminton.
I think that's fine. I would hope that we would think about designing something that, if pickleball didn't work out, that you could move in that direction if that becomes
an
issue.
Love to have
where
your
we
input.
Wouldn't have to add grading and concrete and surface to make it work that way. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't have a bit of a problem with that. Sure. I have a.
But that goes
to
back
think,
to what
to
you
think
cut
that
out.
We're going to try and put up something though that we immediately can. Part of the improvement that we would make to the game here in Discovery Bay would be the smaller fenced-in area. It doesn't need to be as tall a fence, just so that you're not chasing balls all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, you play, pick up the ball, and you keep playing.
Yeah.
But I think that I agree with you that there's nothing wrong with that concept.
I'm all for the court, too. I would say my two cents would be have a larger concrete area that can facilitate. If you ever wanted to go into the future, you either make it a basketball court or you wanted to make it a tennis court in the future, but make it dedicated for the pickleballers, and if volleyball fits in the same size court and the badminton does, stick with that. But I have a little larger footprint's okay with me, and if it's 100...
spend more money on it.
Are we talking about volleyball on a hard surface?
I'm just saying have the option of it in the future. I want a dedicated pickleball court that I could also have an option to play badminton on a picnic. I get that. Go ahead.
What would it cost if we build a pickleball court, and let's say 2 years down the road the pickleball users decide they don't want to play anymore, what would it cost to convert it to a tennis court?
More than it would cost to put one in that size.
So we have to be fiscally responsible at this point of spending $100,000 on a sport that has, and I hate to say this because I'm all for it, but it has 30 players. And if some of you move away or some of you lose interest in the game, it gets down to 15 or 20 players. We're sitting on something we spent the repairs $100,000 on, and we have to justify to them why we spent $100,000. And if it turns out that we're going to change this into a tennis court and have to spend $150,000 to make it, or $120,000 to make it into a tennis court,
on top,
that's really fiscally irresponsible on our part.
But for clarity purposes, if it was built tennis court size, it would not be that expensive to convert.
$20,000 more.
Hold on, I'm asking Karen.
If we built it with tennis court fencing and the tennis court size, then we're talking about patching holes and coring new fences.
Even a low fence is okay. A 6 foot fence is okay.
I mean, I'd like to see it going. I'm in favor. Let's be fiscally responsible when we do this.
Well, how about instead of trying to bat this around forever and ever, let's just kind of agree we're going to move in that direction. Maybe the rec department, the rec committee can get together and figure it out and come back to the board and say this is what we think. There's no use in trying to figure out lines right now.
So do we want to convert this or move back to the $120,000 for
I think that's what we're thinking, correct?
I would like
for
to
a footprint
that.
Size. Yeah, the footprint. whether the fence is, that right?
I don't know if you'd have to put the fence in right now.
I've never seen a pickleball court with fences. I mean, we play it in backyards, so I'm surprised they need a fence for it.
I would say
for chasing the ball.
So far away.
You mean only just to contain the ball?
Yes.
You wouldn't play tennis without fences around it. You don't play pickleball without fences.
So my suggestion to staff would be that get with Farron, and we've got a good input here on the probably a larger footprint's better, and then we get our rec program involved with this and get something going and get it on the budget.
So we will go ahead and make
it. If it might go up 100.
We'll go ahead. I'll take that as a consensus that we will increase by $20,000. What that will end up resulting in is a $20,000 redemption. For a number of years, Zone 8 had built up year after year after year of reserves, and nothing had been built.
But there
was not a lot of money spent in the parks. And so we are now working on, Cornell Park is our flagship park. That's our community park. That's the park that, you know, we're looking at to be the park that has the amenities. And so we've built up these reserves over the years. So what this means is we're just gonna have to dip into the reserves by $20,000 in order to do that. We have the reserves to do that, but right? That's not a problem. But I'm just letting you know that that's what we're gonna have to do.
It's
gonna
move our reserves from
the 2. Public comment for a second.
How much is that, Farron? I'm sorry.
It was gonna remove our reserves from 946,000 to 926,000.
I get that. I think we're gonna handle that.
Go ahead. Why don't you come to the podium, please?
Sure.
Just a couple of comments that might make you feel more comfortable with that decision. My wife started playing 2 years ago. She got me involved 18 months ago after we went to Yuma and started playing. There they had daily 30 or 40 people playing on three courts for 2 to 4 hours a day. And then it got too hot, so they couldn't play. We went back this year. There's almost twice that many playing on the same three courts. This January, we went down to Cabo. We took our paddles with us, went to a resort. They had 2 tennis courts, no pickleball lines. So I had 2-inch tape, restriped 1 court for pickleball. There were 46 players from Daytona Beach Yacht Club came to play tennis in Cabo. And by the end of 2 weeks, about half of them were playing pickleball with us. I don't think pickleball is going to go away. And with the aging population that we have in Discovery Bay, I think you're going to find people discover it's there, and they don't have to chase the ball all over a tennis court. In fact, you will see a significant increase in the number of players.
That'd be great.
We hope so.
We'll look forward to that.
And that budget too, we're talking some benches and things like that.
Yeah. If you had any, I was going to also ask if you had any comments on the other items of the park there. Yes, all the bench, every bench and every picnic table, and the addition of five throughout the park would be included next year, and with the exception of the ones that are under the state structure.
But the pickleball area would also have some seating.
Yes.
Shade.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then we're taking
shade. Wait. I'm sorry. You just went.
You
were
trying to put some trees around it, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're displacing trees.
Trees are okay, but yeah, we're not going to put anything over the top.
No. And then since we're displacing the volleyball court, I'd like to have the board figure out, or the staff figure out, how we can maintain a volleyball somewhere in the park system, or if you can do it the court, and that's fine.
We've already discussed that, and we've already, Farron and I were talking about it today, and we think that we have a plan.
I got a post hole digger and some concrete, so
we'll beat you to work.
All right.
It's right next to the tennis court.
Yeah, that's where we can go. Go ahead. Thank you.
Moving on to streetscapes, we have moved a portion of the funds that we were originally planning on spending on the Highway 4 East project into next year. Right now, we've run into just delay after delay on this project, waiting right now we're trying to negotiate a maintenance agreement with Caltrans. While that's in process, they just started their project of widening Highway 4 right there, so we can't get in for about 10 weeks anyway. So that's going to push into next year. and we have the Clipper Drive tree and shrub plantings. I want to go ahead and talk about that just shortly. This is not a complete renovation like we saw on the boulevard. This is cleaning out everything that is dead and needs to be replaced, modifying the irrigation, and adding trees and some shrubs. This will not be a full planting. It's going to make it a canopy walkway in the future and water efficient planting to do that. And then we have $17,500 for island and levee upgrades. These are the small areas that you see going through, like we have areas on like Lido, small little sections or circles of property that need irrigation and planting upgrades. And we're going to continue that out several years with about the same request every year to kind of hit a couple in-house. The other big purchases, again, we kind of hit on the boom lift under the 4959 code. We're asking for $35,000 for that. That's going to pay back very quickly with our tree work. And then a landscape utility vehicle. And then some miscellaneous tools or equipment that's just going to help us get some of these projects done. Any questions on Zone 8?
When you say a landscape utility vehicle, we're talking about the little...
I'm looking at a John Deere Gator. Yeah. It would be a four-seat utility vehicle. Yeah. Moving on to Zone 9. Sorry, maybe. Again, on the operating and maintenance budgets, we're kind of looking at the same thing we saw in Zone 8, a reduction in the budget for staff payroll. Our professional legalized services are moving down a little bit, our insurance up, same kind of exactly the same as 8. Our utility costs are anticipated to go up again. I'm sorry. That looks like down, but it is down. And I'm sorry, I need to clarify this because last year, with the addition of the splash pad, we weren't really sure what our water usage was going to be and how much that was going to increase. And so we actually didn't use as much as we thought we would. So we saved some money last year, and we put our budget number more in line with what we're actually seeing. There are nothing else that really stands out as far as, I'm sorry, the temporary restroom facility for the splash pad season that you see under 2281, that's brand new. We've never seen that before, but we were having some issues there with the high volume of use and no restroom facilities available. So there is a portable ADA restroom on site now, and it's serviced twice a week.
Next question for revenue. For future development, if they were to come into that area and bring more users, is that when we could get some money to put in permanent facility?
They voted not. They voted not to have a restaurant.
Yeah, but in the future, can we come to vote, right?
People voted.
It's just for the Ravenswood people. You know, the one that they want.
There's no other homes in the Ravenswood subdivision. There's no future expansion.
Newport Point would contribute to that?
Sorry?
Newport Point's not a part of that?
No.
Okay.
Well, a point, though, with that is that should we bring one to this side? Right now, everyone with kids is bringing their children to that side of town to go to the splash pad. Doesn't matter what side of town they live on. If we bring a splash pad to Cornell Park, which what we're talking about reviewing over the next year, you'll probably see a reduction in the people that go to that park, as well as maybe people from there who want to come here where we already have restroom facilities, you know, so that maybe pulls some of the volume from that small neighborhood.
Okay. Clarify vote for me, please. Who voted and when, and was it a ballot measure, or what are we talking about here? When was there a vote?
I'm just
ignorant. I don't understand. When was there a vote?
We sent out a survey to all the homeowners before we did any capital improvements over there.
Okay. So basically, it was the desire of the majority that there not be bathroom facilities. Oh, okay.
Well, any comments?
It just confused me for a second.
Well, that's, I don't think ignorant, perhaps naive.
That's never happened before.
Are we able to lock up the temporary restrooms at night there?
No, we leave them open. We haven't had any problems with them, so.
I did see a homeless guy one day. Are you sure?
So far, we haven't had any problems. We don't have any capital items except for under tools and sundry, which is some of the cost of a landscape utility vehicle and some of the extra equipment we're looking at purchasing this year. So that's split between the two zones, 8 and 9, but we'll get charged back to county zones as well. So 9 is pretty quiet this year.
Good job.
That's all I have, so.
I know we're on capital. Could you tell me which, where does Valley Crest, do they service both those zones also?
No, Valley Crest is only contracted for zone 8. Odyssey Landscapes does 9 and all the county zones. This next year, in 2013, next summer, both of those contracts will go to bid at the same time, and we're looking at including those into just one.
Consolidated?
Yes.
For savings, okay, good. Yeah. All right. Any public comment?
Hi, I'm Pat Hunter. I've owned here for 14 years and only lived here 3. And I'm appalled that after all these years, you still don't have a community center with the young people. They have no place to go unless the parents drive or they take their bikes and risk getting hit. And I'm just without words, just feel so badly for them. I don't have young children, but the people that do and have moved here, this has been known as an old people's community. And I wouldn't say it's all that, but a lot of us live here. It wouldn't be my choice, it's my husband's choice. And I really think that that needs to be looked at. And this gentleman, Mr. Simon, I think is very aware of monies spent and things that you're thinking about. My husband worked all his life as a teacher, didn't earn much money. We have still the same linoleum as when the place was built, because we can't afford to put it in. I think you can wait on your cart and many other things.
Let me just assure you that we are working feverishly on the community center. We've been going down this path very diligently for the last couple of years. And again, fiscally, we're looking at what to do, where to do. So it is very high on our radar. You can be assured of that.
I'm a tennis player. I can't afford to belong. I belonged to another club for 40 years, mm-hmm. and my kids learned to swim and had all those opportunities, but I can't do it now.
Right.
So think about your older community.
We
they
do.
Want to have fun.
Yes.
But can't afford to do it.
We are. And we actually have the elderly so much in mind with our community center
and
for all that.
And lose the people. My husband is so qualified in so many areas. Get volunteers. You know, he helped build City College.
Right.
Or a City College.
You have no idea how many people have come out of the woodwork when we're starting to talk about this community center that said, hey, I can do, you know, grants. I can do this. I can do that. Hey, I'll do the concrete for you. So we have a wonderful community.
Good.
And we definitely are going to use every resource that we can.
Please do. Thank you.
Later. Can you paint or anything?
Sure.
Okay, right. Maybe we'll do
right
that.
Right now I've got a cancer spot, so I can't do something.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, let's continue.
Moving on, if you turn to page 31 in your budget document, it just shows you the salary schedule that was adopted by the board last year. That salary schedule remains in place. The organizational chart has changed with the addition from, well, actually hasn't changed from last year this year, but we did, it went from a vacant position where it says finance manager to Dina's name there. And we are not adding any staff this year. The only staff that gets added is when we need to bring in a temp for a project. And those, generally speaking, for example, Farron uses temps, landscape people in her projects, and they get charged after the project. So we are not proposing any staffing changes at all for the coming year. And if that's all that we have for the...
Clarification on staff?
Yes.
So we're not changing the quantity of staff, and we surely don't need to change the quality of staff. But we are changing some of the title, or some of the positions within that number with regards to positions within... That's not affecting the salary scale?
There is one position, thank you for noticing that. I apologize for not bringing it up. It just slipped my mind. We are promoting a parks and landscape worker from a 1 to a 2. He's been here for a few years and certainly is he's met all the qualifications at this point in time to move from a 1 to a 2, so we're moving him from a 1 to a 2.
And I don't see that on your salary schedule. I see 2 2s at the same price. I don't see a 1 and a 2, so how do we know what that increase is?
That's just a range.
Right, but we don't have a 1 range.
I see 2 2s with the same number.
One.
No, there's 1 to a 2.
There's no 1.
Yeah, 138, you're
right.
Showing to the same schedule.
Well, Kevin is saying there's no 1, so he can see what a 1 makes.
I can tell you that I've got that.
Well, that's okay. It's just... Do we have 2 park and maintenance worker 2s on board?
Yes.
Who do we have besides Estevan?
No, there's not 2 2s. And Bob's considered parks and maintenance as well. But
is Bob one of the 2s?
One's a 1 and 1's a 2, but I think that's for next year where we're assuming they're...
Oh, now I understand. So it's by quantity, not by definition of the job. Okay. Yeah. Understood. All right. No problem.
The parks and maintenance worker 2, if you look at the range number, is range number 131. It's pegged to the same salary ranges as the office assistant is.
Okay. So he's going from what, basically a 131 to a 138?
That would be correct.
Okay, thank you.
And that is the only personnel change. I'm sorry that I missed
well,
that
well,
one.
Well, actually, I was referring to something else. I was referring to the fact that we're changing the positions within the office here in regards to somebody moving in as a senior accountant at a clerk from where it was. Help me out, I'm stumbling here. Aren't you doing something different there?
No, the position's the same.
Okay.
We're bringing in a new person at the same position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And actually, now's as good a time to announce it as any. Dina's gone through the interview process and has hired a new operating position. And she will be starting on June 25th, I believe.
Hopefully I should bring that up.
That's been accepted?
Yes, and she comes to us from Aramark. She was a controller with Aramark, and she has a very strong skill set, and I think that we will be much better served.
Asking about silver, is it?
That's all we have this evening, unless the board or the public has any other questions. In terms of the budget, we will make those changes. I do have 4 quick things I want to bring up. One of them is that the Pantages EIR was delivered to the district office yesterday. There's a copy of it in the back of the room. It's linked to our website under the current issues button, which will take you to the county website. So you can take a look at it electronically. If you do so, it will take about 10 minutes for the document to load. It's a very large document. So you might be better off just coming in here and reading it. As you know, our legal firm did file a lawsuit against Southwest Water Services. That copy of that lawsuit is also posted to the district's website under the current issues button. We received I wanted to share this with you. We received in the mail today, actually someone dropped off their water bill today. It was for 1 penny, and he actually drove it in from Brentwood with a penny taped to it. So I thought that was interesting. And that's all I have.
Very, very, very appreciated mail.
system as well as the chamber.
All right, any final comments? Questions? All right, this is great.
Thank you.